by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. Today is Thursday, and I pray that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. And the good thing about today being Thursday is tomorrow is Friday. And that's my day off, and I'm ready for a day off. So thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. And again, my name is Bob Arthurs, WMIE. We broadcast here 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning. You can catch us over on WWBC 1510 AM. And if you do not have a church home, I pray that you will be searching for one, and that you will find your place in the body of Christ. Now, today we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. Many people didn't know that Jeremiah had any chapters other than chapter 29. That's kind of a joke there, but we're gonna be in Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because of the burden that he carried. But there are a lot of really, really encouraging things. We're going to talk about some of the potential consequences if Jeremiah's society had carried out some of their plans against Jeremiah. We're going to be talking about that today. So Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse number 10 says, "When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, 'This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears.' Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants, for truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing.' So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, 'This man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God.' Then certain of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, 'Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruin, or become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor, and the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them? But we are doing great evil against ourselves.'" Verse number 20, "Now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim the king sent men to Egypt, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and other men who went with him, and they brought Uriah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death." So, we're looking at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was prophesying to the people, and he was doing so in the name of the Lord. The problem was it wasn't a good message. The reason why it wasn't a good message is because they were not living the way that they should. In verse number 13, Jeremiah said, "Amend your ways and the things that you do, obey God's voice, and God will change the outcome of what has been prophesied against you." You say, would God really do that? And I will tell you this. The answer is absolutely. You say, well, why do you say that? Because of the book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet who did not want to go and prophesy against Nineveh. The Assyrians were a brutal, ruthless people. And Jonah didn't want to take the good news of the kingdom of God to them. He wanted them to perish. He wanted them to suffer. Assyria would come and wipe out the 10 northern tribes of Israel and transplant them throughout their kingdom. And Jonah didn't want to have anything good happen to them, and you know, until he spent 3 days in the belly of a great big fish, and suddenly he understood the mercy of God, went and preached in Nineveh, and said in a certain amount of time, God's going to destroy this city. And it says the king repented. All of the people from the highest to the lowest, all of them repented. They even clothed the cattle in sackcloth and ashes. Town of about 120,000 people. And because they repented, God relented on bringing about the disaster that had been prophesied. Does that mean that they got off scot-free? No. Because there's also another prophet by the name of Nahum, and Nahum prophesied against Assyria and that it was going to be destroyed, and it was. You and I, we cannot squander the opportunity that God blesses us with when we have the opportunity to repent. Okay? If we change, it can change the outcome. It changes the dynamic with which God deals with us. He can either bless us or he can discipline us. The choice is how we are going to respond to his glorious invitation. So Jeremiah is talking to the people there, and he says, "As for me, here I am, I'm in your hands. Do what seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." You see, God can have a desire to send a message to a certain group of people. The prophet is supposed to announce that message to the people, and then they have the opportunity to choose how they are going to respond to God's message to them. He says, I have been true to what God called me to do. I have been true to the message that God gave me. There's another time when people come to Jeremiah and they said, you know, how should we respond? And he comes back with a message, and he said, stay and serve the king of Babylon. And they didn't like the message. They didn't like the message. And so they said, no, we're going to go to Egypt. And he said, I told you, if you sent me and you didn't do what God told me to, it's not going to be well with you. They take him all the way to Egypt. And Jeremiah says, the king of Babylon is going to set his throne upon this very spot right here. That's what he said. He said, this is not the way that you're supposed to deal with this. So, let me take you down to verse number 19, because there's some there's some people who are saying, look, this Jeremiah doesn't deserve to die. Just because he prophesied a message that we do not like, that we do not care for, doesn't mean we're supposed to kill him. In this day and time of cancel culture, where a whole bunch of offended people are offended by everything and they want to eliminate everything in their society that offends them, these people were saying, look, we do not want to shut up the voice of God, the mouthpiece of God. God gives us messages for our benefit. And they say, they remembered a prophet that prophesied during the days of Hezekiah, and the message wasn't a message, I mean, that you would really want to hear. I'll tell you, the king of Assyria got all the way to the gates of Jerusalem, and God spared Jerusalem. Doesn't mean that it wasn't serious, but that brings us to verse number 19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against him, but we are doing great evil ourselves. Okay, so we're talking about seeking the Lord here, and specifically, we are supposed to seek the Lord's favor. And it says here, did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? Did Hezekiah not seek the face of God? Did he not want to have God influence the situation? Did he not want God to intervene in the situation? And the answer to all of those questions is yes. He was entreating God. He was asking God. He feared the Lord, and he was asking God to intervene. Okay? That's the proper way that we're supposed to respond to a message that isn't necessarily the message that we want to hear. We need to say, God, we trust your analysis of the situation better than our analysis of the situation. And so, God, we're going to seek you, and we're going to ask you to intervene in the situation. And that's what he did. So what is the other option? Because there is another option. There is just blowing off the message. We live in a day and time where people who don't like the message just refuse to hear the message. Okay, let me tell you, in 2021, on March the 18th, 2021, God still hates sin because sin hurts his people. God doesn't want people being damaged and wounded by sin. He wants them to live a holy life. He wants them to live a life of faith, a life of love. He wants them to live life abundantly. But life has to be done on God's terms in order for it to be a blessed life, the way that God wants it to be. Okay? So, Hezekiah's response was to fear the Lord and to seek the Lord's favor. Jeremiah had said, I'm in your hands. Do whatever you want to do with me, but if you kill me, you are going to bring innocent blood on yourselves, this city, and its inhabitants. I want to tell you that we cannot afford to damage ourselves by rejecting the message of the Lord. Okay? This is Jeremiah chapter 26. If they had killed Jeremiah in chapter 26, there would not be Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 was the message that brought spiritual truth to a community of captives who were having messages from false prophets that were about, those messages were about to lead them to a path of destruction and deterioration rather than a life of purpose, and saying, God, for this season, you've got a purpose for me in this season. So we've already talked about that. If it wasn't for Jeremiah not being killed by the people in chapter 26, you wouldn't know that after 70 years that God was going to come and he was going to deliver his people from Babylon and from the kings of the Medes of the Persians. If Jeremiah had been killed, the people wouldn't know that God thinks about them thoughts of peace and not of evil, and thinks about giving them a future and a hope. There's a lot of things. If that message had not gone to the captives in Babylon, then Daniel wouldn't have understood in the book of Daniel that Cyrus was absolutely critically important to fulfilling the scriptures 70 years later. Okay? If it hadn't been for the writings of Isaiah, Daniel wouldn't have known that Cyrus was the name that there was going to be. So what I'm telling you is, it is very important that we receive the word of God as the word of God, whether it causes our carnal nature to bristle or cause us to cringe a little bit. I want to ask you, when was the last time that the word of God penetrated your heart? I'm not talking about just as an unbeliever. I'm talking about, when was the last time that the word of God penetrated your heart as a believer and it invited you into a deeper relationship with God? Because that's what the word of God does. It's what the word of God does. So I want to tell you how we receive the word of God is very, very important. So these messengers back in Jeremiah chapter 26, they say Jeremiah 26, verse number 19, did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? Okay, take note of that. And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. Let me read it to you again. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. What is the great evil that we do as the chosen people of God against ourselves? It is when we refuse to hear what God has to say. It's when we refuse to respond the way God wants us to respond. And it is also when we do not revere God in such a manner that we seek his favor. Okay? I remember I was, we have always taken prayer requests in our church services. We believe God is a miracle working God. I wish I could say that we see everybody that we pray for get healed. We don't. But I can tell you this, we'd rather pray for them and pray the prayer of faith over them than not, because we have seen people that we've prayed for get healed. And 100% of the prayers that we don't pray never get answered. Okay. So my challenge to you, this may not be an eloquent statement, but the challenge that I have is I want to strongly encourage you to seek the Lord's favor, because we don't want to do a great evil against ourselves. I told you, we take prayer requests. There was a person one time, and they showed up, and they were having some physical challenges, and I said, well, if you don't mind, we'll pray for you. And they said, well, there's a lot of other people in worse shape than I am. And I want you to know that statement is probably true. You know, there's somebody going through greater physical challenges, spiritual challenges, relational dynamics, work problems, financial problems, spiritual problems, parenting problems, you name it. Somebody is having a worse day than you are. And that doesn't matter to God. You see, God does not operate on a rationing system anymore. Okay? There's a story in the Bible at the pool of Bethesda, and the water would stir, and the first person into the water, when the angel would stir the water, would get healed. Jesus shows up at the pool of Bethesda and says, do you want to be made whole? And he says, I don't have anybody to throw me into the water. Okay, just telling you how I would respond in that situation, if I knew that that the first person in was getting healed, I would be camping out in that water. That's what I would do. Don't know how frequently that, you know, the waters got stirred, but there were people being healed. Jesus shows up and says, I can heal you without stirring the water. And he does. And so my thing is, do I want to believe that God just deals with individuals, or do I believe that he's no respecter of persons, and that if I will seek the Lord's favor, he's going to change the outcome of what my life looks like in the future? I don't know about you, but I've got enough enemies that I don't need to be my own worst enemy. I've got people who, you know, don't want to see the church thrive, not in my church, but I've got people, you know, that don't want to see the church thrive. I've had people tell us that the church was never going to grow and the church would never be blessed financially or any of that sort of stuff. And we've discarded all of those, you know, negative statements because they didn't line up with the Word of God. So I've got enough people that are trying to do me and the church harm. I don't need to do harm against myself. And you probably face those challenges as well. You probably got more than your fair share of problems. Let's eliminate some of the problems. And let's do that by seeking the Lord's favor, asking for God to intervene in the situation, asking God to influence us, asking God to influence our finances, asking God to influence our country, our employer, whatever needs to change, let's ask God to change it. So that instead of doing evil against ourselves, we are actually bringing blessings upon ourselves. Jeremiah said, whatever you do today is going to impact you, it's going to impact your city, and it's going to impact everyone living in the city. I remember having a discussion, don't remember who the discussion was with, but they were talking about people, I believe it was people with heart problems, and that the people with the heart problems, that had the possibility of changing the look of their health just by adjusting their life, that the challenge for the medical community wasn't about telling them what changes need to be made. It was about finding which one of the motivations would be the one that would motivate that person to make the changes. Okay, I read a book one time. It said, change before you have to. Change before you have to. And so I don't know. What is it that is going to propel you into seeking the Lord's favor? Is it the realization that you are doing great harm against yourself, great harm against your family, great harm against your kids or your grandkids or the community that you... Will that be what changes it? Will it be that, it impacts the quality of life that you live, whether you live in liberty or whether you live in captivity? Quite honestly, the one thing that I see here in America is people are highly motivated by how things impact their pocketbook. Okay? Anytime the government tells me that they're going to do something to help me, I start reaching for my wallet because I know it's getting ready to cost me a lot of money. So there was a situation years ago. And man, every year for a number of years, the budget demands went up exponentially every month, and it was no fun. It was no fun. So I said, I don't like that at all. So we made some changes. We made some changes to our budget to help bring some balance. Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? But we are doing great evil against ourselves. I don't want anything bad to happen to Brevard County. I don't want anything bad to happen to me, my family, Merit Assembly of God, or the community. I want to call the church body at large together to seek the Lord's favor. So instead of doing great evil against ourselves, God is able to use us as vessels of righteousness to bring blessing to our community. God bless you. You have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Dream big. It's the Lord's desire for you too.